Over the holidays, I had the pleasure of reading one of the most gripping and suspenseful stories anyone will ever read. How many of you have read Endurance? Ken Thrasher has. Anybody else? Endurance. Now, this is a book, I'm sure you, it's by Alfred Lansing, and I'm sure you could get it on the internet very easily. Men, in August of 1914, the Endurance set sail for the South Atlantic. You know where that is? Way down there. Under the command of Sir Ernest Shackleton. 27 men on a sailing ship, specially built to withstand. They had some kind of wood that's actually stronger than steel that they got out of Scandinavia. These guys were going for it. And the object of the expedition was to cross the Antarctic overland. So they had dog sleds, they had dogs, the whole thing. This was a big thing. It was right before the outbreak of World War I. When the war was breaking out, they asked the king, do you still want us to go or should we stay here? And he said, no, you go and do this thing. Man, that was in August of 1914. But in October of 1915, 14 months after leaving England, still far from their destination, Endurance was trapped, beset, as they would say, was beset and crushed in the ice. For 5 months, Shackleton and 26 other men were castaways drifting on ice packs in one of the most savage regions of the world. They're out on this ice floe, 27 men. It's just a fabulous story of courage. One part of the adventure that really gripped me was an amazing 800-mile voyage in a 19-foot boat across the stormiest ocean on the globe. You go from Antarctica up to the closest piece of geography, which is South Georgia Island, which is 1,000 miles east of the Falklands. It's out in nowhere, and these guys did it in an 19-foot open boat. Men, in order to survive, they loaded the bottom of the small boat with rocks for ballast to sustain the incredible winds and waves. And of course, when it came time to sleep, and it took 16 days to do it. When it came time to sleep in the bottom of the boat, you had to sleep on the rocks. But men, the weight of the rocks saved their lives. One day they got a sunny, bright, smooth day, and they were tempted to throw some of the rocks overboard and make a little space so they could sleep. I mean, these guys are incredible. And they decided, Ernest Shackleton wisely decided not to do that. Okay, men, did you know that the Bible points to wait as God's way of getting us through the storms of life? Did you know that? Wait. The word glory in the Bible has as its root the concept of wait. You like that idea? Huh? Do you like good thoughts? Let me paraphrase a passage from the New Testament for you. This is a paraphrase, all right? Don't lose heart, the writer says. Some of the difficulties and challenges that we have are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. As a matter of fact, the difficulties we have give us the weight we need. In other words, they put weight in the boat to get to the other side, which is not here. Constant message of the Bible is it's not here. It's the other side you're trying to get to. Then he goes on here, this paraphrase in the New Testament. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Can you imagine how those men felt when they saw land? They saw an albatross halfway there to South George Island. That gave them some courage. But these guys, with just a sextant, were able to navigate 800 miles and find that island. Can you imagine how they felt when they saw land? It was 2 years from the time they left England to the time they got back there. Men, I'm assuming that each of us has or will have a storm or two in his life. Is that a fair assumption? Huh? Or have you guys all, have you got it all worked out here? A friend of mine recently had his stepdaughter and two step-grandchildren move back in the house with them. And he's finding that he needs more weight in the boat. He's very tempted to lose his patience. It's hard when you're in your late 50s to start playing with young kids, you know. When you and your wife have been raising kids for 30 years and that has been your focus, what do you do when they leave? That's real. My wife and I think we're ready for that. We think we're going to be the exception to that, but let's see what happens. Maybe you're lucky enough to have a broker who kept you in value stocks. Maybe you're not. Whatever, I am assuming that we will all face what the Bible calls light and momentary afflictions. But isn't it amazing how those light and momentary afflictions start to loom so large in our lives? Isn't it? Have you experienced that? That's what the Bible calls them. They're light and momentary afflictions in light of what? Who's the smart guy over here? David? Ken? In light of eternity, right? With that in mind, man, I want to introduce you to our leadership text for the first part of the year 2001. Open your scriptures with me this morning to the book of Malachi. I've tried to keep you in suspense. Malachi. This is in honor of Joe Cernelli, actually. This is the Italian prophet, Malachi. No. Malachi. Man, if you can't find it, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Go to Matthew and then go one page to the left and you're into Malachi. The book of Malachi. Men, I have chosen, prayerfully, a book for us to study here that has weight. Weight. And we kick off this morning, it says, an oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Men, very honestly, the New International Version translators are trying to be user-friendly here. You know how we get these translations. They get all these heavyweights, all these PhDs from all these denominations, because they have to have a kind of an ecumenical group or they won't be able to sell a lot of them. And occasionally they get into debates, and there's a big debate over the first word here, an oracle. Actually, oracle's not a good word. Let me explain it. What does the word oracle imply? What's the denotation of it? Telling you something. I want to tell you something. I've got something to tell you. I've got a declaration here. Misses the point, man. The preponderance of scholarship on this says the better word is the way the older translation, the 300-year-old translation. Who's got one? One of those old-fashioned Bibles. Jim, read that whole verse now, loudly.
The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi.
Yeah, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The burden. The burden. And here's what Malachi is kicking off with here today. Although, look at verse 2. See? I have loved you, says the Lord. Although Malachi will exalt the love that God has for his people. That's what this book is going to be all about. Although he will exalt that, he opens on a heavy, even a threatening note, men. It's a warning. It's a burden. God has something he wants to say through this man, Malachi. Malachi means my messenger. I have a message for you. I love you. I will always love you because I don't change, but I want to warn you. And what he wants to say here, here's the burden. In spite of my love for my people, I am going to come someday and judge the world. The heavy note of judgment was meant to stir up men and women to prepare for that day. Are we prepared for that day? Malachi means my messenger. God has a message with weight for his people Israel. For all of God's people, then that means us. Men, my vision for this study over the next few months, that gives me some space because, men, I don't know what I'm going to discover in here. I went up last summer and spent a weekend with Dr. Walter Kaiser, my graduate school guru. He's the president of Gordon Seminary in Boston. I went to a seminar where I spent a weekend with him. I have his commentary. I have another commentary that's that thick, written 300 years ago. I am going to live in this book for the next several months. I don't know how long it'll take us to get through, but I'm in no hurry, are you? You know, it's taken me this long to get this messed up, and I'm in no hurry to unravel the whole thing, okay? So my vision for this study is for Malachi to put a few rocks in the boat for us. It will steady us, men. I know this is true. It will steady us. It will make us more seaworthy, more able to sustain whatever comes our way. And in our world of instant.com, did you read that thing the other day about this local guy that built this company or has tried to with venture capital? And they put $70 million of venture capital into this thing, and this guy was out joyriding in a Mercedes and a Ferrari. What kind of thinking do we have today that you would put that much money on a man that with that kind of character? What is the thinking? Well, the thinking is we're going to get there in a hurry. This was written 2,450 years ago. And the Lord said, I want you to get ready. I'm coming back. We're 2,400 years closer to that today. And I'm going to judge the world. Men, Malachi is going to help us stay focused on the end game. And Ernest Shackleton and his men had to keep South Georgia Island in mind as they were sleeping on those precious, precious rocks. Each one was worth your life, okay? Those rocks in the bottom of the boat, I don't know how they did it. They were soaking wet, sleeping bags all, Jim, you would know about this. Sleeping bags all deteriorated. They had to throw them over. They were all soaking wet. And men, what we have to do is to keep in mind as we launch out into this new millennium is eternity, right? The eternal weight is what the New Testament calls it of God's glory. Look that up in 2 Corinthians 4. The eternal weight of God's glory, that is the thing that is going to sustain us and get us to the other side. And it far outweighs anything that this world can throw at us. So, the challenge this morning is let's learn together how to put some rocks in the boat. And I want you to read Malachi this week. Four chapters. And when we get through with it, we're all going to be changed. Right? The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you come here every week, I guarantee it, for the next few months, make it a priority, and we'll all change together. How's that? Happy New Year. Let's have a prayer together. Lord, I pray for the grace to trust you. In the world we live in, we're not going to get much encouragement for this, to be preparing for your judgment. That's not what people around us very often are encouraging us to do. What they're encouraging us to do is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And I just pray for the grace to do just that, to do what you are challenging us to do through Malachi, to get ready for the end game. I pray for every man here and myself, because sometimes these light and momentary afflictions, they tend to loom awfully large in my mind anyway. I lose sight. I lose my perspective on things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning. Good to see you.